Hey, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope with Rodney Mathers. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. We've got a great show for you today. Yet another example of someone who has overcome huge odds and obstacles in their life. And Teresa Joyce will be with us. She's written a book about her experiences. It's How to Overcome Adversity. And we're going to be talking with Teresa right after this. My name is Rodney Mathers. You're on the Journey of Hope. Be sure you keep those emails coming to me, okay? You can catch me at MathersRodney@yahoo.com. Don't want to know what you did to end up in prison. Just want to know how you're doing, okay? Drop me a line. It's MathersRodney@yahoo.com. Hey, everyone, and welcome back. On the phone with me today is Teresa Joyce. Teresa has just published a book called There's a Fine Line. It's a book about Teresa's struggles to successfully overcome the adversity she's faced in her life. Teresa, welcome to the Journey of Hope. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
All right, I'll tell you what. We're going to get into the details of your book in just a second. But first, I'm just curious, why write the book? You went through these struggles in your life, and obviously you've come out a better person on the other side. Why write the book?
Why write the book? I guess through my time, throughout, 10 years of the abuse and the shoot from my stepfather, I ended up in mental health care for many years. And it took me a while to actually get somebody, I've seen psychologists, psychiatrists, to get somebody that you could actually gel with, could talk to, and, you felt ease with. I did find that person, and throughout the sort of weeks, it was said to me, this may help you if you write it down. And I thought, okay, that might be good, sort of put it down on paper, vent it from my head and that sort of thing. And I did that for a couple of weeks, and I suddenly thought to myself, well, if I'm doing this, I'm helping me. Can I help others? Because I know, throughout that system that there were so many people that were going through the same as I was, and, give a helping hand to sort of face their own demons. Mm-hmm. And it became like a project for me then. It was, okay, I'm helping me by writing it, but I want to help others by writing it too. I want them to read that, to know they're not the only person out there that's actually gone through something like this. There is light at the end of the tunnel. You just have to hold your hand out to reach for it, really. So many people throughout the system say to you, I know how you feel, and they really don't, they don't. Unless you've gone through something in your life, you don't know how it feels. You can be sympathetic, you can say, yeah, I understand, but you don't. And I guess the book for me was me saying, yes, I've been there, I've done that, I've got the T-shirt, I understand, and, this is... I can help you. If you read my book and see the struggles I had and where I came out the other end, you can do this too. Through adversity, we find strength. So it was a bit like sort of finding some camaraderie in the madness, if that makes a lot of sense to you, Rodney.
Yeah. I love what you say. I got the T-shirt. That's great.
Yeah. Hey, got the T-shirt, yeah.
Well, I think people can try to empathize with situations, but unless they've been there, they just, like, for example, my listening audience, as you know, is people that have been incarcerated. And people can try, and I've been incarcerated myself, people can try to understand what that's like. But unless you've walked in those shoes, there's just no way. And so you bring up a very good point there. But also, It doesn't have to be someone going through particularly what you did in your struggles in order to see, as far as reading your book, in order to see that there is a way out. I'm sure that people could find parallels no matter what their struggles are. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yes, absolutely. You know, it's just finding the strength to actually walk through that door, you know, holding out some sort of hope. There is a light there, you know, wherever. I've never been incarcerated, you know, but I, throughout my 10 years of pursuit by my stepfather, I guess it felt a bit like that because I was only sort of safe in my home. My home became my prison. My mind became the bars, you know, so I was, in a way, I was incarnation because I had nowhere to go. I felt as though, you know, I was in a place where I couldn't get out. I couldn't, you know, what were the bars for, the restraints for me sort of like stopping someone getting at me or for me getting out, you know? So you make a very good, valid point there. It's all about what's in your mind, you know? It's, are you behind bars? Are you behind something in your head that you feel that way, you know? There are lots of parallels that you can actually draw from a situation like that, Rodney.
Mm-hmm. Your book, the story covers a variety of issues, and these issues begin to arise in your early life. Take us to that point in your life and the kinds of things that were going on around you at that point.
As a child or as an adult?
As a child.
As a child, okay. A bit of a bizarre situation. You know, as an adult, this abuse started again when I was married. I'd left home. I'd been in the RAF. Royal Air Force, I've done lots of things. And it's only because of the abuse that, or the pursuit of my stepfather as an adult, that I actually remember the abuse as a child. I had no memory of that. He sort of started this pursuit of myself, you know, he's talking about a guy running around with loaded shotguns, you know, threatening to kill friends of mine. You know, at one point, he sort of cut his little finger off and put it through my letterbox as an apology because he felt he affronted me the day before. I mean, this guy was off the Richter scale. Every day I would have letters through my letterbox. One day it would say how much he loved me, how much he wanted to be with me. And the next day it would be saying stuff, you know, that I was, you know, under his shoe, I was a whore, I was a tramp, stuff like this. But within those letters, there were trigger points. He would sort of little verses I read that I would think, I know that. Where do I know that from? And I never sort of, took me a while to actually understand that these things I had heard as a child, and these then started me to remember the abuse as a child, because I didn't, if it never happened as an adult, I don't think I would ever remember, to be perfectly honest with you. I don't still remember it all, but that the trigger points of the abuse as an adult made me understand that these things mean something. Why do they mean something to me? It was a bit like sort of opening the floodgates on a dam, really, because suddenly it was like somebody switched a light on, and I thought, I've been here, and I tried to hide from this. I tried to push the memories back. I thought they were mine, you know, they were alien, that someone was actually, you know, hypnotizing me or putting sort of memories in my head that weren't my own. But they were, you know, so, I guess very difficult to know. I don't remember everything as a child. I really don't. I'm trying to get there. This is the next book that's coming out. And I'm remembering more each day as time's passing and stuff. But, yeah, I don't have full recollection of that as a child, Ronnie, to be honest, and only through those trigger points. And maybe I would never have done if this hadn't happened, which is a little bit bizarre, but, you know, that's the way it works.
Well, those things that happened that were, you know, that adversely affected you as an adult, how have you let go of those things? Because you've obviously gotten past it. How did you do that?
Gosh, it took a long time. It took me 2 years to write the book, and it took me 10 years of help within the medical healthcare system. The book for me was venting. I would sit to write when I made this decision to write. You know, not just for myself but for other people. I would start to type, and then I couldn't type. I would walk away from the computer. I couldn't sort of go back for 3 or 4 days. Other times I would sit and I'd sort of type for 10 hours and think, I haven't eaten or done anything today. I really need to do so. I would go to bed and I'd wake up with a thought in my mind. I'd get out and, you know, turn the PC on just to sort of write those thoughts down. But I became to a point in my life where I thought, I need to forgive my abuser. Because if I don't, he is still in control. I don't know, it's like a turning point in your mind where you think, he's not here anymore. I haven't seen my stepfather for over 12 years. I think he's somewhere in Europe living now, I'm not sure. But I needed to forgive him. That is the major, major issue. I had to forgive him, because if I didn't, I was carrying that along with me. He was still in control of my life. Mm-hmm. That's the point, Ronnie, to be honest. You need to forgive the people that have actually made this horrific sort of impact on your life, because if you don't, you can never move forward.
Mm-hmm. You also talk about in later life, as you became an adult, a marriage that didn't go quite right. Am I understanding that correctly when I read your bio, that you had problems during that time period of your life?
My ex-husband used to work for my stepfather. It was a family business, and it was sort of very integral. When this sort of started happening as an adult, I actually spoke to my husband and sort of told him what was going on, and the letters coming through the door, the finger coming through the door. It was, it was a bizarre situation. This guy would be outside my window, at 12 o'clock at night, sort of banging the door down and stuff. And my ex-husband sort of said to me, "I don't understand the issue. What's the problem? He's lonely. He just needs someone to talk to." So it was downhill from them, really, because he wasn't there for me. He couldn't understand, or he didn't want to understand. He just wanted to go to work, not change his profession, and really couldn't understand why I had an issue with this. So it was, from that point on, it was going nowhere. So, and at that point in my life, I hated men with a passion, because the two people in my life, one was trying to hurt me extremely, and as a child, and my ex-husband was there, then my husband, doing nothing about it. So, yeah. It's a strange scenario, but my marriage was dead from then on.
Okay, so these things kept popping up through your childhood, in your early adult life, and we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about an accident that you were in, and we'll do that in just a second. We're talking with Teresa Joyce. We'll be right back after this. My name's Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope.
Learned of love and ABC, and skinned our hearts and skinned our knees. Goodbye, my friend, it's hard to die. When all the birds are singing in the sky, now that the spring is in the air, pretty girls are everywhere. Think of me and I'll be there. We had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun, but the hills that we climbed were just seasons out of time. Goodbye, Papa, please pray for me. I was the black sheep of the family.
Hey, y'all, it's Rodney Mathers for the Jam Buddy Chord Chart. If you know anyone who plays music, or if you play music, you want to check out this product called the Jam Buddy Chord Chart. It takes your playing and organizes it in such a way that you can play a lot of different songs in a lot of different keys. It uses something called the Nashville Numbering System. It's an excellent tool to improve your playing and to make you more viable, say in a jam setting. It doesn't matter what instrument you play, it's going to work for any instrument. It's an incredible tool. It's found at angiesbanjo.com. That's angiesbanjo.com. You want to go and check it out. You get a free sample when you click on the Jam Buddy Chord Chart ebook. It's called the Jam Buddy Chord Chart.
Okay, and welcome back. We're chatting with author Teresa
Joyce. How does that sound to have you called author Teresa Joyce? You like that?
Yeah, it's nice.
It is cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, listen, there was a point in your life where you were in an accident and you were badly injured. So you've had all this horrible stuff going on, and then, you know, icing on the cake, you're badly injured in an accident. What happened?
Very bizarre, to be honest with you. I don't know, maybe it's fate. Before I had my accident, I had two jobs. I used to work as an aerobics coach and a weight coach within the gym and sports centers and things like that. I also worked in an accounts department for a major company. You would think that I would hurt myself in the gym or, you know, doing sport, but it didn't happen that way. I went to work one day in the office, walked into the toilet and slipped on some water from a pipe. I landed badly, had nothing to hold on to, and I hit the ground and fractured or prolapsed two bottom discs of my back. So, you know, it's I live with pain every day, all the time now. So, you know, you would think it would be through sport. I've done sport all my life, you know, even when I was in the Royal Air Force, but... No, it happened in an office, which is a bit, you know, it annoyed me at the time, like, why there? You know, it's a bit crazy, but that was the way it happened.
Wow. And I read somewhere that you wrote, I guess this is on your webpage, you said, this is a quote, "There's a light at the end of the tunnel, and all we have to do is reach out." What was your light? You had all of this horrible stuff happen to you. How did you move past all this?
At my major low point, I tried to take my life. I took an overdose, and I wanted out. I didn't want anything around me to go on. I just, you know, that was it. I wanted out. I was found by a family member that shouldn't have been there that day, that actually found me and took me to hospital. And I survived that, and I had, you know, it was touch and go, but I did actually come pull through that. And I went through a period of time where I thought my life was worth nothing. And then this little boy came along, my grandson. My son had a child. And to be honest, I thank God every day that I never died that day, that I'm he's there for me. The way he looks at me, he smiles at me. He, you know, he just holds my hand and says, you know, these little things that children do. He's two now. But, yeah, he was like my end of my tunnel, to be honest, because... And I thank God every day that I stayed for that, because... Everybody's light is different, no matter what you go through in your life, and you know it could be horrific things. There's something out there that's worth holding on to. There's something that you don't know is coming yet, but it will come, and it will make a difference to your life.
Well, I hate to put you on the spot, but I'm going to anyway. You know, given your experience and everything that you've been through, let's talk to my audience here. With your insight, what advice would you have for men and women that are coming out of prison and are continually getting slapped as they go on job searches and just even looking for places to live? What would you give them in words in terms of hope? What can you say to them today?
I can say that, you know, when it looks the darkest, it's not going to continue. It will become light. You just got to... Just hold on, because there's something there in front of you that you've not seen yet. It will come right. There's something that, you know, we all walk a path in life, right or wrong, I believe is destined. I don't know, you know, because people go through horrific things. So there's nothing happens to them in their life. But I truly believe that the people it does happen to are strong enough to actually take that beating or that put down. There are others that could go through that would never, and they wouldn't survive. So if you survive something like that, you can find the strength to move on. There's something there. You haven't seen it yet, but it will be there. Just keep walking back towards that light, and you one day it'll be wham, it'll hit you in the face, and you'll know that, yeah, it was worth keep trotting this road because, yeah, I'm here now, and I'm so glad to be there.
How's your life today, Teresa? How are things for you now?
Well, it's, you know, quite good, really. I guess I've got all these things going on in my head. I've got my son, I've got my grandson, I've got my life, I write, I've got some good friends. It's not all great because I still have, you know, bad days. I still remember stuff, and I still, sometimes I get nights I can't sleep because of the memories and the flashbacks and the terrors. But that's today. Tomorrow might be different, and that's really what I do. I live today. Today might be crap. Today might be rubbish, but tomorrow might be good. And you just have to hold on to that thought. Tomorrow might be good.
Hmm. Well, how do we get a hold of your book? How do we do that?
Okay. As you've said. My name is Teresa Joyce. My publishers are the biggest mental health care publishers in the world. They're called Chipmunk Publishing. The book is called There's a Fine Line, and obviously I'm the author, Teresa Joyce. It's also available worldwide, you know, on Kindle and Amazon and things like that.
Wow. Hey, you know what, man? I was just in Do y'all have Starbucks over there?
Sorry?
Do y'all have Starbucks coffee over there? Do y'all have that?
Oh, the coffee, Starbucks, yeah.
Yeah, y'all got Starbucks? I was just in a Starbucks a couple of days ago, and it used to be that people would sit there with their laptops, and now everybody's got a Kindle. I notice everybody's got a Kindle, and they're reading a book, man.
Oh, technology's taking over, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great, but it's an easy way to get a book. I'm glad to hear that your book's available on Kindle. That's excellent. Okay, Teresa Joyce, it's so good to have you here, and your story is inspiring, and I want to encourage my listeners to take a look at your website and see what Teresa has to offer out there. Teresa, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much for your time.
My name is Rodney Mathers. We're going to be right back after this. You're on the Journey of Hope.
And my heart beats with the rhythm of a sigh. This time the girl is gonna stay. This time the girl is gonna stay. For more than just a day. And I just can't help believing when she slips her hand in my hand, and it feels so small and helpless that my fingers fold around it like a glove. And I just can't.
That's all the time we have. I want to thank my special guest, Teresa Joyce, who was calling in from London, England. We want to thank her and want to encourage you to go out and check out her webpage and maybe even take a look at her book. It's excellent information about how to overcome adversity, which is something that we know a little bit about, don't we? Hey, listen, I want to remind you of something. If God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.